family. What are your thoughts when you hear this word? Dinners, birthday parties, graduations, and weddings? Do you think of love, intimacy, and laughter? Or do you think of pain, absence, and conflict? Whatever your thoughts are, family was God's idea. His desire is for you to join His vibrant and growing family. A family marked by sacrifice and acceptance. Marked by diversity and unity. Marked by an eternal significance. A family like that would be no ordinary family.
All right, well, it's so good to be here with you guys today, and we are concluding our series, Why Family? Now, last year, when we did a summer series, we concluded with what we called a Testimony Sunday, and so we heard from some of our families at Lifeway, or individuals last year at Lifeway, that got to share with us what God was doing in their life, how God was working in their life, how God had worked in their life, and how God was going to continue to do so. And so we're going to take that opportunity again today to hear from some of our folks about how God has worked in their family. And family is very important. Who started family? Whose idea was it? It was God's. He's the one that established the first family. He's the one that sets the parameters for the family. He's the one that gives the goals and the direction for family. And so what our job is as Christian families is to follow His leading, His guiding, to make sure that we're on His path. And so the first section of messages that we covered was over marriage. In fact, yesterday we got to witness a marriage right here in this building between Melissa, used to be Melissa Stevens, and Aaron Zeller, okay? And I don't know why they're not in church this morning. Just teasing. But anyways, we got to witness that wedding. It was amazing. It was so awesome to see. If you were here, you could just see the excitement in Melissa's, you know, face and her body language and stuff like that. It was an exciting time. They began marriage. And like Glenn told him yesterday, this is the easiest day of marriage for you guys. And if you've been married for any length of time, you know what it's like. Marriage is tough. But God has a design for marriage. And He wants us to follow that design in order for our marriage just to be blessed and for it to work the way He wants it to work. And so we talked about marriage. Then the next part we talked about in this family series was parenting. It can be hard to raise these awesome kids and point them in the right direction, especially with all the other things that our society brings into the scenario, right? You look at everything that society wants to teach our kids, and a lot of times it is opposite of what God's Word wants us to teach our children and how He wants us to lead them. And so it's difficult, and we touched on that, and we got some guidance from God's Word on how to set that kingdom atmosphere, how to lead them, how to build these kingdom kids so that they can go out and they can change the world for God. That's the purpose. And then we wrapped it up with looking at some difficult relationships. We looked at the prodigal, the one who has wandered far from your home, whether that be a child, whether that be an aunt, an uncle, a parent, a cousin, whatever the case may be. We looked at, how do you restore a person like that? How do you restore that relationship? Because you want to stay connected to them, but it's difficult when they've abandoned what they believe, abandoned you, abandoned their family. Then we also looked at divorce. It happens in our society, doesn't it? It's actually fairly common. So how do we recover from a divorce? And of course, last week we looked at something that every family faces, and that is death. How do you deal with losing a loved one? How do you handle that? And so we've looked at some broad topics, and we've looked at these things, and I hope that it's been a blessing to you. What we're fixing to have is we're fixing to have a testimony shared by Joe and DJ Green. And what they did is they slid in here, I think it was Thursday, was that right? And we got it recorded. And so we want to play that for you now. We want you to see what God is doing in their life, how God has blessed them. And so y'all watch this. Give me just a second, okay? Y'all watch this video once it plays, and then right after that, we have another couple that will get up here, and we'll interview them as well.
Well, good morning. We've got Joe and DJ Green with us this morning. We're gonna do some interviews this morning, and we're gonna talk to two couples in our church, in different places, different stages in their life, and got a couple of questions for y'all. And I wanted to start off with is, can you share with us, each of you, how you came to know Christ as your Savior? And Joe, would you go first?
Well, in 1971, I went to a Billy Graham crusade with a bunch of my best friends, and we gave our life to Christ. We were saved. But then after that, we just kind of fell away from going to church until I married DJ, and she was coming to Lifeway, and I decided to come with her.
So how big was the gap in between you?
About 35 years.
Okay. So a lot can transpire in 35 years.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So you
met her like an online dating site or?
No.
No? Okay.
Mutual friends.
So. Okay. Mutual friends. Yeah. Okay. All right. Then, well, we'll get to that part.
And then after that, I decided God spoke to me that I needed to come and get baptized, and you baptized me December 26, 2015, and I've been serving the Lord since then.
Yep, you've been serving in ministry a very long time.
Yes.
You're almost an old timer in service. Almost an old timer there. How about you, DJ?
Well, I was about 6 years old the first time I gave my life to Christ, and I was baptized. Shortly after that, my parents got a divorce, and we quit going to church. I could elaborate on that, but, you know, that's not necessary. Later in life, I found myself a single parent. I was divorced, and God just kind of laid it on my heart that, you know, I needed to teach my daughter who Jesus was. So I found a church, started going to church, taking her with me, and about a year into that, then God just really spoke to my heart, and I rededicated my life. And I was baptized, and that time it was for real.
Okay. Fantastic. Okay. Now, the next question I have for you is, now let's talk about that online dating site. So how did y'all actually meet? Because y'all married later in life. Y'all weren't 18-year-old kids or something.
No.
How did y'all meet? How did y'all come to meet?
We had mutual friends that thought we should be together.
Yes, we did.
We got tricked.
Tricked.
Both of
So how did you feel when your friends start trying to set you up? Were you a little nervous? Like, hey, I don't want to do that.
No.
Neither one of you were out spouse shopping.
No.
Okay.
No, we've both been divorced twice.
And so you pretty well played that game, and you were done.
I was just fine. My life was just fine without a man. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm doing fine too.
Okay. Especially without a man. Yeah. So it happened at a party?
Well, we were invited to a birthday party.
It was my girlfriend's birthday party.
Okay.
I was trying to set us up.
It was on April 1st.
April Fool's Day.
So they met on April Fool's Day. So I wish we could do a long version of this because I guarantee you there's more to this story. And so y'all met, and what was it like?
Well, we just kind of hit it off.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what was your first date like?
Well, there was
the first date was like the next night. We had hamburgers and margaritas over at DJ's house.
Mm-hmm.
And I was.
So you didn't waste any time going for a burger, did you?
No. I volunteered to help make the burgers and cook them. And make margaritas.
Okay.
But I want to say this, that he was living in Cuero. I was living in Arlington. That's 5.5 hours away from each other.
Right.
And so I thought, this is okay. We were okay because, you know, he's not going to be on my front doorstep, you know, every day or vice versa. I mean, you know, there was a distance there.
So the distance gave you a little comfort.
Yeah.
It did.
Okay.
It gave me a lot of comfort.
Lots of comfort.
Okay. So how did you get to Cuero?
I drove.
When did you move to Cuero?
3 years later.
So y'all dated for 3 years?
Back and forth.
Yes. So you pretty knew knew what you were getting into before.
We got married before the gas prices went up.
Oh, yeah. You got married. But did y'all hear that? They got married before gas prices went up.
We didn't plan it that way. It was just like we got married and the gas prices went.
Okay. Well, that was God saying it's time to.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, here's one, and this will be a little more serious. What kind of difficulties have you faced in your marriage or in a parenting relationship? Because Joe, you had no children. DJ, you did. Have any relationships outside your immediate family affected your family? Because I know when you've been divorced and you remarry, especially even if just one of you have kids, it's like you've known those kids your whole life. Joe's brand new, and he's the outsider. You know, no matter how long y'all have been together, he's the outsider. So what was it like? What kind of difficulties did y'all face? Because you both married later in life. Yeah. You both had a track record of being married before. And so sometimes we can drag a lot of baggage into that. And some old hurt feelings maybe not resolved. So just tell me a little bit about what kind of difficulties did y'all face?
Well, we had, since I didn't have any children, I was instant father and grandfather when I first married DJ. But I was blessed with those kids, and we had some troubles and ups and downs along the way, but it was mainly because of drugs and alcohol. But we got that turned around, and when we decided to give it to God, and He brought us through all those trials and tribulations, and even though that had those problems,
The kids had the problems.
Yeah, the kids had the problems with the alcohol.
But when our kids have problems, we have problems.
Yeah. Well, of course, yeah.
And that was a challenge because on the day y'all got married, you became a husband, a father, and a grandfather. So there's a lot of dynamics there.
Yeah.
And so having had no children in the past,
right,
that brought on a whole new dynamic for you, didn't it?
It did.
Okay, I know that can be very scary because you're just exploring the boundaries of all of that.
Right.
DJ, tell me a little bit about it from your point of view as a mom.
Well, I mean, the parenting part or the marriage part?
Both of them.
Okay. Well, as far as the marriage goes, you know, I feel like that God knew that, you know, I didn't need anybody but Joe to help walk through those tough times as being a parent. I mean, it wasn't that we didn't butt heads every once in a while. You know, we did. But like he said, you know, once we learned how to turn it over to God and to leave it there, then our marriage started getting better. And God just blessed us. And those kids, they...
Well, now that they're grown, they've turned to God themselves. And then they look at us as Christian parents and want to be like us.
Mm-hmm.
Which we weren't expecting at all. I mean, it's amazing the things that God leads you through and the results that you see at the end of all of it. We've been through a lot. God just held our hand through all of it and He guided us.
Well, Joe, you said something. I want to drill down just for a second. How does it feel when you know you're not the perfect husband, father, grandfather, but you've got people that are looking up to you? They need you to be their spiritual leader. They need you to be the spiritual trailblazer. That's got to be rewarding and scary at the same time.
Yes.
Okay. So that alone can be a challenge, right?
Right. Right. Okay. And like I said, I'd never been in that situation before.
Mm-hmm.
But with God's help, we did it. We pulled through.
So y'all both had to travel some long, dark roads to get to here.
Exactly.
But would you say those experiences have helped you become the people God wants you to be?
I believe so.
And to be that kind of person. Okay, I just got one more question for you. How is God's design for family and the help of the Bible, His word, helped you in your marriage, with your parenting, with your relationship? How has that been a blessing to you?
Oh, goodness. Well, I'm at a loss right now.
it's overwhelming, right?
Yeah.
You're at a point, let me just ask you if this is true. Are you at a point in your life where you couldn't see it any other way?
Yeah.
Other than doing it his way.
Exactly.
Through his word, through the commands he's given.
I've learned to do it through his way.
Right, right.
From the teachings that y'all given us here through small group and what have you.
So having a church family is important, isn't it? Not
important.
Just for fellowship, but to hold you accountable, right?
Exactly.
We've got to hold each other up.
Right.
DJ, what would you add in that area?
Well, I just believe that, you know, when we got married and, you know, looking at everything, when you're honest with yourself and you look back and you're trying to tell someone what you've been through, I mean, it becomes even more clear to you that God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. And as soon as we learned to trust him and to hand it over to him, he just worked everything out. It took time, and we learned lessons through it all. But in the end, you look at it and you think, you know, God knew exactly what he was doing, and he had a distinct plan for our family.
Amen to that. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Proof that an online dating site will actually work out if you're over 30. Thank you all very much.
Wait a minute. I have one more thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Can I say one more thing? Okay. God's blessed us with another family, and that's our church family. And Joe and I have developed very strong relationships with a lot of people at Lifeway. I mean, we pray with these people. We go to small group with them. We serve beside them. I mean, they are a family of ours. And, you know, Joe had two heart attacks in January, and he was air flighted to Houston. And it was very overwhelming for both of us because we've never been on that side of the fence before. But the prayers, the love, the support that we got from Lifeway,
it was just life changing.
Yeah, I don't know what we'd have done without all that. Which brings me to something that I've said time and time again, and that is that. I looked for a church all my life before I walked in these doors.
Well, amen.
It's been awesome ever since.
And you haven't been here 10 or 20 years, but it feels like it. And I speak for so many people that have come behind y'all. And in their mind, they feel that you guys have been here for the whole time the church has been open. Because when the doors are open, they see Joe and DJ.
Yeah.
Y'all are the first faces they see when they walk in the door. Joe is actually in charge of our greeting ministry there. And it's just that for me, it's a joy because I can look back to the first day y'all walked in the door. And I remember meeting Joe for the first time, like, oh, boy, that's a tough shell to crack, to him sitting on stage telling some very personal things about him. And here's what you're not going to see. Y'all have been a blessing to so many people, to Lifeway Church family. But what you're sharing today is going to bless even more people because y'all are real. Y'all are real people that had real struggles. And like you said, God knew and y'all trusted him. And when you trusted him, he led you and he will continue to bless y'all. And y'all are an example of just trust God and be patient, as hard as it is, and he'll get you through. And I want to say thank y'all for being here today.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Joe and DJ, for that. We've got a couple other folks that are going to come out right now. And we'll get started with our next interview. But awesome to see how God has worked in y'all's life. And y'all are such a blessing to Lifeway. And we appreciate y'all being here very much, Joe and DJ. All right. Well, I have on stage joining me today Brent Gohmert and Hannah Gohmert. And so we're going to kind of answer some of the same questions that, you know, you just saw on that video and everything. I want to make sure that we work through all these things for y'all. And so, Brent, Hannah, would y'all mind telling our family here about your relationship with the Lord, you know, when that began, you know, that you have that and everything like that?
I'll take this one first. So I grew up in a family where we never consistently went to church, but maybe a few times a year. But I did know about God, and because my parents taught me, they made sure that I knew that God made me and that God loved me. And I knew about Jesus, and I knew that he had died for our sins. I don't think that concept really clicked for me at a younger age, but I did pray daily, and I, you know, asked for forgiveness for my sins when I felt like I had done something wrong. But I always felt like there was something missing for me with my relationship with God. In a retrospect, it was that I had never really deeply acknowledged that I was a sinner and that I needed Jesus. And I hadn't asked him to come in and take control of my life. And so that happened for me when it was 2015. I was a new wife. We'd been married for 9 months, and I was pregnant for the third time. I wanted so badly to grow our family. And we got pregnant on our honeymoon, and we miscarried the honeymoon baby. And we tried again right away, and we miscarried that baby. And so here I was. I had just gone through the first trimester. We announced to the world that I was pregnant. And then one night in the middle of the night, I just felt this tremendous amount of pain. And I knew in my heart what was happening, and I cried out to God there in bed, and I said, God, why would you let me conceive a life and not let me hold it? And so I wrestled with God a lot that night, and it finally came to me that my creator, who I had been crying out to all night, I never considered him in my plans to start a family, and I never thought about what place he would have in their life. And it dawned on me then that I was trying to build my own kingdoms and how sinful that was, how prideful I was. And so it was that night that I asked God, I said, please forgive me for how prideful I've been. I can't do this without you. I want to give this to you because I need you, God. And I want your son Jesus to take control over my life. And so then I prayed later into the night and I asked God, like, please, as the pain got worse, I said, God, please give me one more day to carry this child, and I promise I will raise him to know you. And I prayed that all through the night. And eventually, I felt like I was dying, so we went to the ER. And God answered my prayers, actually, because there in the ER, we learned that it was a kidney stone. I was okay. The baby was okay. Actually, he was 13 weeks along, and we could see him there sucking his thumb on the sonogram. And that baby, if you know our family, that baby was Waylon. And if you know Waylon, you know that his heart is on fire for the Holy Spirit. And he actually accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior earlier this summer.
Was baptized, yeah, just about a month or so ago. As for myself, so I was raised in a Christian household. So I had a mom that took us to church on a weekly basis and made sure that my sister and I were constantly going. But I never really knew what it meant to have a relationship with God, because aside from church and nightly prayers, faith was not much of a topic of conversation in our house, and actually it was my father that raised me, knowing that there are three things in life you just don't talk about in public, and that's money, politics, and religion. So it's kind of hard to respond to the Great Commission with that kind of mentality. And so, but again, I was baptized at a young age. You know, I knew who God was, but he just wasn't working in my life. I didn't know what it meant to have a friend, for Jesus to be my friend and to accept him into my life and let him take control over my life, to truly surrender. And so I was exposed to pornography at a very young age in life. I had a family member, I had multiple friends that were also partaking in that exposed me to it, that I saw it. And so, I mean, long story short, I thought highly of these people. I thought highly of my family, of my family members, and I saw them as highly influential people. And so with that kind of mentality, I normalized it, knowing that it was full and wrong of what I was doing, but it was just, I chalked it up for normal behavior and continued to go on in my secret sin. Many years later, not too terribly long ago, through mutual friends, Hannah actually introduced me to my my first small group leader. And so I started attending small group of Bible study on a weekly basis. We also started going to church here, where we're transitioning from what I came from. I started being fed on a weekly basis at church. And when you're in the Bible and you're being fed at church, it doesn't take long at all for the Holy Spirit to convict you. And so I had that Holy Spirit conviction very hard on me, especially in my struggles. And so I don't know the date entirely. It was in 2019. That again, lost in the darkness in a pit, that I finally just, I was at home, and I gave up. I could not go any further. I knew that what I was doing is wrong, and so I finally just went, I literally went outside, and I hit my knees, and I cried up to God, and I said, I'm so sorry. I'm a sinful man. I just gave it up. I said, I can't do this alone. For so long, I had been just trying to take the burden on myself and knowing that it was wrong, just, oh, I can do this. I can stop, and that's impossible. And so, I mean, I knew that there was no more, there I wouldn't another step I could take without Jesus Christ being right there beside me. And so I prayed that God could just forgive me for that, and I finally surrendered. So,
amen. Well, thank y'all for sharing that part with us. I know that that's, you know, that's an awesome part of y'all's story. In fact, when we talk about testimony a lot of times in church, that's what we're specifically talking about, is how you came to met Jesus, came to meet Jesus Christ and make him Lord of your life. And so thank y'all for that. And you know, y'all's, you would say your path is maybe not just as traditional, like just you mentioned Waylon. You know, here you are raising Waylon in church. You know, he's young. He is learning about Jesus. He's come to that knowledge and he's made that decision, which is different from y'all's path. But the important part is y'all had that moment in your life that you realized, my sin stands in front of between me and God, and I know that I can't physically do anything about this. I can't, you know, behave well enough to overcome this. I must confess it to him, repent of that, and place my faith in Jesus to save me. And so that's awesome. And I'm so glad that y'all are, yes, you're part of Lifeway's family, but even more important than that, more important than that, you're part of God's family. So tell us how the two of y'all met.
So we came to the realization about, you know, 20 minutes ago that our anniversary is tomorrow, actually. So,
All right.
We'll have been married for
well,
9 years.
You're welcome, you know.
Thank you for that, yeah. Hey, for the record, I remembered. Yeah, so. But we'll have been married for 9 years tomorrow, and we have been dating for 15 years. So we met, we were high school sweethearts. Hannah over here had herself a long-term boyfriend for an extended period of time, and he turned into... He was a good friend of mine. You know, he's a good friend of mine. We hung out frequently, but poor Hannah was. So I'm a water skier, and so she'd come out on the lake with my friend. We'd go wakeboarding and whatnot, but Hannah was through the revolving door of my girls that I was going through that time, of my weekly flings, per se. So, but Hannah and I knew of each other for a good while, for probably about a year or so. And, I mean, I always just, you know, maybe I was just looking at you lovingly from a distance, but... as events transpired, her and that boyfriend ended up breaking up.
Well, that was after we were in theater together.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess I did miss that part.
Yes, so my freshman year, we had a theater class together, and we were friends, but it was fun because we had to do a lot of improv sessions in theater, and so we realized, like, early on how well we bounced off of each other, and that just, like, banter and kind of, like, bickering, just fun bickering.
So you already had, like, the old married person,
like,
couple
yeah, we
down
had to pretend
thing.
To be 100%. Old married people. Like, we had scenes where we had to fight, like, a married couple and, like, argue. It was fun. It was all good and fun then. But ultimately, I think our theater director saw some chemistry between us before we did, because for our school's one-act play, he cast us as the leading two roles, which were forbidden lovers. And there was a really... long, dramatic kissing scene in this play that we had to practice a lot.
y'all care to demonstrate?
Actually, there's some science behind it. We never actually kissed technically.
Exactly.
So yeah,
no,
it was
like
you lock sideways.
Neck rubbing.
Yeah. But it's very intimate to say the least, though.
But so, it was really weird because I laughed a lot, and we had to practice this scene over and over because I couldn't stop laughing every time it came up. And so eventually, our theater teacher was like, "Y'all go to the back of the theater, figure this out, and don't come back until you can come up here and do it because you're wasting our time."
One of the most beautiful things of Hannah is she does not hesitate to call me out on my bluffs or anything. And so once we're back there, I looked at her and I was like, "Hey, you want to make out?" She said yes. I froze. I was like a deer in the headlights. I was like, "Okay, let's just study our lines." It's like, but anyway, so to fast forward, her and her boyfriend ended up breaking up. And I'll never forget that day. I think she received probably 3 phone calls that day. But my mom, whenever I made home for whatever MSN Messenger or whatever, she found out somehow.
I changed my status on MSN.
But my mom found out, of all people. And she looked at me and she goes, "You know Hannah broke up with her boyfriend?" I was like, "Yeah, I heard about that." She goes, "You need to call her." So I got to thank my mom. My mom said, "You need to call her right now." And so I called her, and as a friend wanting to comfort her, so I started taking her to lunch. I put the other girl that I was with in the back seat, and I put Hannah in the front seat to comfort her for the time being.
Is this the proverbial car or an actual car?
An actual car.
Mom's
actual
car. Okay. Mom's car. He was talking to my friend at that time, and they were going to lunch. And so that day he said,
"So you got the front seat then?"
I got the front seat that day. That's
a big thing.
Our friend
high
never
school.
Came to lunch with us.
Yeah. But so, I mean, really, the rest is history. We've been,
proposed right after I graduated high school, and we got married right after I graduated college. And so we got married. Yeah. So that's our story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Awesome. Well, thank y'all for sharing that part with us. It sounds fun. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Never a dull moment.
Well, so tell us about some of the difficulties you face in your marriage or being a parent, and have any of those relationships, outside your immediate family, have they affected your family?
Okay, so following my salvation, and I mean that's a realization between myself and Christ that I finally professed my sin and just, but that was. At that time, it was between me and him. It was very much still a secret, and I went along battling it. But, I mean, it's impossible to do and by yourself, of course. But it took every bit of a year before I finally told Hannah. I was still struggling. And so I finally confessed my secret sin to Hannah. And upon that confession, other past mistakes that I made prior to our engagement, also were confessed. And but for me, what came out as the majority of my life of suffering with this burden that I had just taken upon myself, that yes, I confessed it to Christ, but at the same time just battling it with the solitude that you get in that sin, that it was finally an opportunity for me to just express it, and so just let her know, to finally confess it. And so I opened up the floodgates, per se, and it felt, for me, it was a relief. I was bearing it. It was a burden on me for so long that finally I was able to get it off my chest and confess it. But what ended up being an overwhelming amount of just things that she had no idea about. And so we proceeded to have to work through all that. And so, I mean, it's an understatement to say that there were multiple times where I thought I was going to lose my family. Working through all of this, the probably harder on top of that was the fact that I truly believed that they deserved better than myself, that that with my brokenness. Paul says in 1 Corinthians to the people of Corinth, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. He says to flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. And he says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own." This is the key line. "You are not your own, for you were bought for a price." And that price is Jesus Christ dying on that cross and raising 3 days later. "And you were bought for a price. So glorify God in your body." And so, God, I wish I'd have known that line the way that I know it now, 20 years ago. Of course, in the brokenness, we started our long progress of, so I sought spiritual counseling. I found accountability partners in my small group, my brothers, people that were going through similar things, because again, that's one of the hardest things. It's an isolating dark sin that you just feel so alone. And so to find out that there are other people going through the struggle, so just being able to rely on them and just keep you accountable. I got accountability software for my phone, for my computer, and just read books, did workbooks, just anything I could do to get further from my flesh and closer to the Holy, closer to God through the Holy Spirit. And again, I mean, it was a great victory or a great climb for me, which of course is never done until you actually meet Jesus Christ in person. But it's just I see the light and I just constantly keep on working towards it. But while I'm battling that, I dropped, of course, just numerous pains along onto Hannah that, yeah.
Right. So to preface all of this, when we got married, we thought that we had Christ at the head of our marriage, but we didn't, because we knew God and we loved God, but we'd never really taken the time to get to know God through His Word.
So and Hannah, yes. Ken, if I could just write a quick step in. When you first got married, neither one of y'all were saved, were you?
I wasn't.
Correct.
Okay. It's very difficult to put Christ at the head of something when you don't actually have a relationship with Him.
Exactly.
And our world and religion especially is very confusing about that, because they look at religion and Christ and, you know, these things as something that I can just add into what I already have. They don't understand the surrender that it is to make Christ actually Lord of your life. He's not something you add to your life. He's someone you surrender your life to. So it's very difficult to make Him head when He's not even you don't have a relationship with Him. So anyway, sorry to interrupt, but
yeah, no, I'm glad you said that, because that's I was going to go there next. Was we weren't studying the Word like at ever. I mean, we had Bibles in our house and they were in the nightstand, but we weren't studying scripture. And so a friend has once made the comment to me before and it stuck with me. How can the heart love what the mind does not know? How can you love God if you don't know Him through His Word? And so as we both separately, you know, got to know God more through His Word, that's when Brent's sin was revealed to him. Because, you know, you hold the Bible up against you to examine yourself against what God says. So anyways, also to preface all of this, I am a child of a divorced family. My parents divorced when I was 17 because my dad had a long history of infidelity, and I didn't know any of it until they divorced right there when I was 17. My dad had had, after many affairs, he had one with my friend's mom. And so that was when the straw broke the camel's back. My mom made him leave. And I remember I went from being daddy's girl to like not knowing who my dad was, because I felt so betrayed and I was angry. I felt naive. I was confused. I felt embarrassed to be associated with him, because we were in a small town, or a town smaller than Cuero. So I was embarrassed, and there was just a sense of shame that like I couldn't shake off. And my dad never apologized for that. And there was never any attempt at reconciliation. And so I was 17 then. There was nothing I could do about it. I had to go to college. I had to grow up really quickly and just kind of carry that betrayal trauma with me over the years. And so I brought that into marriage. And I didn't know that I needed to work through it beforehand. So anyways, when Brent came to me after he had, you know, it's a beautiful thing to want to separate your sin from you and grow closer to Christ. But when you're on the other end of that and you're loving somebody through that, it can be really painful. And so when I learned about all of that, it's like I had to relive some really, really difficult times in my life. And I was confused. I saw Brent going through all of these motions, Brent making active choices to separate this. I mean, I knew that he had friends that were checking out on him. I knew that we had set up all of this accountability software, all the things. He was doing all of the things. But I was resentful. I had lost hope in my marriage, but I had hope in Jesus Christ. And I was really confused on, like, what do you do with that? How can Jesus Christ save your marriage when you don't have any hope for your marriage, but your hope is in Jesus? And so we really just kind of painfully coexisted for a short while. And I don't think it's coincidence that in this period that we were just painfully coexisting, illness entered our house. and our whole family caught the flu. This was all in the span of a week. Our whole family caught the flu, and we nearly lost our middle child, Clancy. We were already going through what was the worst time in our lives, and then we didn't know if our marriage was going to make it, and then we didn't know if our child was going to make it. And there was a point at the hospital where he desperately needed to be transported because the hospital couldn't meet his level of care. We could not fly him because he was not stable enough, and he could not go on an ambulance because they told me he would not make it 3 hours on the ground. And so we were kind of gridlocked there at the hospital, and a team went away to decide what we're going to do with this case. And so there I cried out to God, and I said, God, I lay my baby at your feet because we can't do this. I said, God, if it's your will, please make a way for him. You have to take control of this. And a lot of you out here stormed heaven for our family and made some, sent up some big prayers. And ultimately that night, God did work a miracle through the creativity and the minds of pilots and doctors and nurses. And our son got the care that he needed. But it was then that the fragility of life and the temporary nature of life and the sacredness of family hit me. And there in the ICU, once we could finally breathe again, we looked at each other and we said, we've got to give it to God. I mean, like we gave Clancy's case to God and we laid it at the feet of Jesus, and we need to lay our marriage at the feet of Jesus if there's any way that we're gonna make this work. And so that's what we did. We came home, we got to work. I knew that I had to unpack some of the trauma that I had been carrying. I had to learn that my dad was not, in my parents' marriage, my dad was not the spiritual leader of our household, but my husband was, and he was trying. Christ was not at the head of my parents' marriage, but he was at the head of mine. I had to work through that. I had emotions that I had to honor, while also, you know, being obedient to the word and not being sinful in my anger. I needed help. And so there was that barrier of shame that I had to overcome, and I finally reached out here to the church, and I came to our pastors, and I got godly counsel, because in this time, I wanted to know what God wanted for me, and I wanted to know what his word says, and not what the world would say. I wanted to shut the world out. And so I got that spiritual counsel, and then I also reached out to my small group and some good friends who they were there for encouragement. They were there to share how God worked in their family. And then also, I had a few good friends who said, sister, you need to have some grace with him. You need to have grace. And that was pivotal for me, because the concept of grace, I'm not deserving of God's grace. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. And I needed to give grace. And so when that hit me, I guess that's when I really embraced forgiveness and started extending grace. And it was only then that we began to heal. We started a Bible study together, and we started studying the book of Matthew together, actually. And we would pray every night before we opened our Bibles. Brent would pray over us. He would pray for our minds to be opened and our hearts to be softened. And we would study the word, and it was awkward at first. I was mad. I was grumbly. But God calls on men to be spiritual leaders of their household. And if I was going to be obedient to God's word, that meant I had to let him lead us through that. And so we did. And there's freedom in that.
So Hannah,
yes.
Was it difficult to follow someone's lead that you felt, you know, just even needed your forgiveness, that, you know, there was sin in his life? So is it easy to follow someone's lead that who sins, or is that hard?
Hard. It's really, really hard. And you know, the fact that we're.
So can I do a poll right quick?
Oh, yes.
Gentlemen in the room, raise your hand if you have sin in your life. Ladies, if you look around, your husband's hand should be up. We're all sinners. So it is difficult to follow those who struggle with sin. And that's where, for us as husbands, you know, it's a...
You got to get out of your own. You got to get out of your way and let the Holy Spirit come through. I mean, of course, I felt like a hypocrite. I mean, the things that how could I not? I mean, because it wasn't long after, but I knew that was the direction that we needed to go. We couldn't grow closer to Christ with me just being like, hey, look at this. All right, we're just going to keep on going. So, yeah, the Bible study with Matthew, I mean, yeah, those first few nights were just terrible. But I grabbed her hand, and we prayed, and I am not a strong public prayer, but I'm working on it, and I'm progressing. And so then eventually it became more natural. But, of course, like, how could we grow closer to one another if we're not at the same time growing closer to Christ? I mean, that's the, you know, that has to be the first and foremost in our life. And so,
you want to share with them the triangle?
Yeah, no, of course. So, yeah. So, of course, and I was going to get to, but yeah. So in a marriage, Christ is supposed to be first in our lives, of course. And so Christ at the forefront of our marriage. And so envision it as a triangle. So Christ is at the very top, say the top of the mountain. And so it's myself and Hannah at the bottom of it on the other 2 points, because triangles have 3 sides. Geometry, fun. All right. So we can't just grow closer to the other at the base of this mountain, because there's a mountain between us. But as we continue to grow closer to Christ and getting closer and growing closer to Christ, that is what actually in turn brings us closer to one another. So once we have Christ at the front, at the top of our relationship, as we grow closer to him, and in turn we grow closer with one another. So, and I mean, there's nothing more true than that, especially in a marriage, that's the answer to my fourth question, though. Yeah. So I don't want to lead on too much, though. So, you
know. So family, marriage, being a parent, all those things have difficulties with them. Yeah. And what y'all have had to do is you've had to lean on God, trust what his word says, and follow what his word says in order to get through it. Because family is not just, it's not perfect. There's not a picture-perfect family. You can look at families. In fact, Hannah, you mentioned something there. You mentioned there was a period of time that y'all coexisted. But during that coexisting time, y'all came to church, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And we smiled.
Yep. And so most of you would look at Hannah and look at Brent, and you wouldn't think of anything else different. You'd think, oh, there's Hannah and Brent. So good to see them today. But the reality is there's people here today. You're sitting there and you're hurting. There's, you know, marriages that are broken. There's parent relationships that are strained and things like that. But the same answer that's true for Joe and DJ and Hannah and Brent and for myself and Lauren and anybody is you have to trust Jesus. You have to follow his word and do it his way. So you want to say something?
Well, it's just the general aspect of it being such a prominent figure and everything we're going through too. I mean, I have 3 sons. Again... What? Are you going to? Well, I was trying to prompt you, so. Yeah.
Tell you what, let me ask the last question.
Is oh, okay. I didn't know that was number 4. I thought that was number 3.
Okay. It's all right. How can God's design for family and helping his word help you in your marriage, your parenting, or other relationships, Sprint?
Ah, okay. Again, being discussed throughout the predominance of this is my biggest shortcoming through my life before my salvation, before putting Jesus at the front of my, at the top of my life, was that I was not answering the call. So God calls us to be the leader of our household. Well, us as husbands are to be the leaders of our household. And so we can't do that without putting Christ first. And so again, in that triangle, but so the order is Christ at the front, then there's myself as the husband, below of which is Hannah, my wife, and then below that would be my sons. And so prior to my salvation, it was so frequent. I mean, of course, if I don't have God at the front, you know, he's just an afterthought down here who I am aware of, but I don't study his word. I'm not looking for him or anything. And so I just assume he's there because he's ever present. But I would have Hannah at the front of my life. And so then my kids are suffering. My work is suffering. So I'd make the shift and then I'd put work at the top of my life. So my wife, my kids would be suffering. And so, but to once finally coming to salvation, studying God's word and seeing that true calling, it's just whenever you, again, looking at the Bible like a mirror and seeing yourself and be like, I am not being the man that I need to be in my household for my wife or for my kids. And so that was a huge realization that the Holy Spirit brought upon me. And so, yes, to see it that, of course, without seeking, putting God first, that, I mean, you're destined for failure. You will always fall short of the true glory that you can have throughout your marriage, throughout your parenthood and everything. And so, and again, because of course with the sin that I was bearing, that it's a very much a generational sin. And so to have 3 sons, to be terrified of what they're going to be exposed to in this life, to know that it had to stop with me. It has to stop with me. And so, leading the household, showing them closer to Christ, growing closer to Christ, and is never letting Satan get a foothold on our lives. And so,
So for me, God's word gave me the conviction that I needed to fight for my marriage, because he was fighting. He was doing everything he could. But God's word is what gave me the conviction, and his work through the Holy Spirit. And like Brent said, it's not lost on us that we have three sons that it's our job, it's our call, it's our commission to raise them to be spiritual leaders of their households. And so we both came in to our marriage carrying generational sin, things that happened to us or things that were normalized in our childhoods that we had no control over. And, you know, for us, it was the immorality and it was the divorce. But for some families, it might be alcoholism or narcissism or pride. I mean, we're all struggling with something different. But we came into our marriage with that generational sin. And God's word convicted me to pull up my boots and fight those battles for our kids. Because the battles that we choose not to fight are the battles that our children inherit. And so that gave me the hope to keep fighting for that. And there was a specific verse that really stuck with me through hard days. And that was James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And this is James's letter to his congregation as they're fleeing persecution. So it's a letter of encouragement. And he says, "Count it all as joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials or various trials, because the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And may steadfastness have its full effect on you, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So that was a verse that stayed on my heart. And all of that to say, we're all going to go through hard things. We're going to deal with divorce, with a prodigal son, with losing loved ones. And we have the choice to cry out to God and say, "Why me?" Or we can cry out to God and we can say, "What are you trying to teach me through this?" And then we can listen. We can open the Bible, we can consume his word, and we can be obedient, and then we can let him move in our lives. And he's moved in ours, and he's still moving. And I can't wait to see what he does next.
Well, thank y'all so much for sharing with us this morning and just giving us peer into kind of your relationship. I know, like we said, you know, it's vulnerable to do those things, but it's also important for us to understand how God is working in each other, in our lives, and in families' lives, and things like that. So, thank y'all so much for sharing with us, and I'm gonna wrap it up, okay? So y'all can get off stage and y'all can go get back to your seats, okay? Thank y'all, Brent. Thank you, Hannah. Well, it's difficult to be in a position like that to open up and share those things, but I hope that it was a blessing to you. And we want to wrap up and we want to close this part of our service now, and we want to give you an opportunity to respond. But before we do that, I want to read a verse to you. When it comes to family, we each and every one of us, we kind of have a direction we think we should go. Sometimes those examples were set by, you know, our parents. In fact, a lot of times that's the way it is, and so we follow that example. But the best example that we could follow is the one that we find in God's Word. What God's Word says is what we should do. And here's the thing about what I love about God's Word is it's not a moving target, is it? It's a target that you can see, you can read about it, and then you can hit it if you follow it. If you follow and you let Christ lead in your life, you can hit these things. And so marriage, being a parent, and other relationships, they're difficult. But family is worth it, isn't it? It's worth it to put in the work. Dads, let me say to you, it's worth it for you to lead your families. It's worth it for you to get up early or stay up late and read God's word so that you can have the spiritual maturity that you need to have to lead your family. Mamas, it's worth it for you to continue to pray for your husband and to submit to his leadership and to pour into those kids. It's important for husbands and wives to lead their family, to lead those kids to Christ, to have them in places like this where they can hear some dangerous messages that hopefully will change their life. And it's important to serve together. And so family is important, and it's worth fighting for. This is a scripture that many of you have probably heard before. It's found in Proverbs chapter 3, and it's very simple. This is the message I want to leave you with, and then we'll close up. In verse 5, it says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart. Not some, not 60%, all. Do not lean on your own understanding. So don't lean, don't have faith in, don't trust in what you think you know. No. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, God. And He will make straight your paths. Verse 7 says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And verse 8 says, it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. I hope this series has been a blessing to you. As we wrap this up, this is what I'd like for you to do right now. I don't know where your family is at. I don't know. Some of y'all, you're here alone today. You don't have any family. Your loved ones have either passed on or whatever the case may be. But wherever your family is at, this is what I'm going to ask you to do today. I'm going to ask you to circle around each other and pray for each other, pray over each other. Okay, if you have, maybe you have a boyfriend or girlfriend or that's here with you today, and maybe you have plans down the road to tie that knot. Well, make that a matter of prayer. Surrender everything to God, everything in your relationships, whether it be marriage, whether it be your parenting, whether it be relationships with your extended family, whatever the case may be. I want you to pray and respond to God as we have some music here in just a moment, okay? And here's what I ask. If you don't have someone, if you don't have family here and you would like for someone to pray with you for your family, I'm going to be right down here in the middle. And I'm going to be here for you to pray with. As far as if you would like to come down, I'll pray with you. And if you are here today and there's a struggle that you have and that you would like prayer for, that's where I'll be as well. I'd love to pray for you. This is our time to respond to what we've heard and to be encouraged. And I want to reference one thing Hannah said. She made this statement at the end. She says, our children inherit the battle we choose not to fight. And so I'd ask your parents today, what battles are you choosing to pass on to your kids because you won't fight them today? Because it's just not comfortable to do so. Don't let that be you. Give it over to God today. So as our band plays, I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to ask you to pray right where you're at with your family. And if you need someone to pray with you, please come down front. I'm here for you.
You are not hidden. There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not holy.